The scripture's coming from Luke 19, Luke 16, 19 through the end. And I just have bad light or bad eyes. Tim, you got extra glasses? These eyes over 50, you know how that works? It's like jeepers. Anyway, the word of the Lord from Gospel of Luke. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this place, in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." There you go. Doesn't need any explanation. But I do want to look at a couple things, okay? The rich man. I find it very interesting that the rich man doesn't have a name. Back in Hebrew culture and back in the old days, a name was everything. If you knew a name, you knew the individual. You knew everything about that individual. The rich man was extremely important. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here, and he's kind of dissing them like he usually does. It's kind of cool. He's always ripping on them some way or another, because the Pharisees are kind of like, you know, they're on this pedestal that they built themselves. And so what he's saying is that you guys see wealth as, you know, verification that God has blessed you. So let me take you down a notch or 10. Because here's this rich man. We're not even going to give him a name because he's just not that important. He doesn't mean a thing. Yet we got this poor beggar, Lazarus, who has a name. Lazarus' name, Lazarus is the Greek for Eleazar, which translates to "who God aids." So, I mean, when you know the Hebrew, Eleazar is "who God aids" or helps. And so that gives us a little clue as to what Jesus is saying about. This is a guy that God's going to help, even though you don't. Because as we read down here, the rich guy didn't get it. I mean, we got Lazarus sitting there at the gate. And the interesting there, too, is it's interesting thing there as well, is Lazarus was laid at his gate. Lazarus didn't go there. He was laid there. It doesn't say who laid him there, most likely family. But if you think about it, people are laid at our gate every day. What do we do with them? What do we do about them? So I find that interesting that Jesus said he was laid at the rich man's gate. Rich man apparently didn't see much of him because he was just hoping to get a crumb off the guy's table. It says he doesn't say he did or didn't. Most likely he didn't, because it doesn't look like the rich guy paid any attention to Lazarus. However, it's interesting, too, that the dogs did. Dogs in that culture were considered filth. I mean, they would call you a dog if they wanted to insult you. But it says here, even the dogs licked his sores or tended to him. They actually recognized that this was someone that was suffering. Let us do what we can do. You know, we'll at least try to clean his sores for him. Rich man didn't have that idea at all. So it's a little contrast here. So I think Jesus was kind of getting at something. You guys take it for what it's worth. Okay. Then it says, okay, eventually Lazarus dies. What happens to Lazarus? the angels carry him to Abraham. The rich man dies. He was buried. Okay? Lazarus wasn't even given the dignity of a burial. The rich man, of course, probably had this great big mausoleum with his name carved in it, probably a picture of him and a whole story of him on an obelisk that went all the way down. Who cared? That was not important to Jesus. What was important to Jesus was that someone was suffering and he was carried away. And then it gets kind of cool because this rich man, it blows me away. He sees Lazarus up there having a good time with Abraham, right? And he's down there burning up in hell, basically, getting pretty hot, and say, "Oh, Abraham, would you send Lazarus over here to dip his finger in the cold water? I'm miserable." He doesn't get it. He still sees Lazarus as someone beneath him, that you should send him to do my bidding. How arrogant. How absolutely arrogant. I cannot believe that. I shouldn't say that. I can believe. I mean, we all know people like this. They are so arrogant that they see other people as their toys or their tools to use. And I think that's kind of what Jesus is getting at here when he's talking to these guys. This is not a parable, by the way. This is not one of Jesus' parables. Most of Luke is taught in parables. This is not. So I don't know if this is someone that they all knew or not, but this is a story. This is not a parable. But it was meant to teach as well. This is not the same Lazarus that Jesus rose from the dead, obviously, since he's up in heaven here. But yeah, it's just another Lazarus. And I think it's just because of the name more so, he who God helps. Okay, so anyway, Abraham's answer to the rich man that we don't know is, no, you had your good stuff in life, and that's it. Lazarus had nothing, now he's comforted, you're not. Well, what does that speak to? Lay up your treasures in heaven. Don't be worried about all the stuff you can accumulate here, or the fame, or whatever you want. This world is not your world. When you have Christ in your heart, when you accept Christ as your Lord, you don't belong here anymore. You're here, but this is not your world. You have moved on into God's kingdom, which is a whole different set of rules, and everybody's on an equal playing field, regardless of Dick's desire for differential rewards. We're all on an equal playing field. That's the way I see it. And I'm preaching today. He's got next week. He can change that up next week. All right, let me keep going here because it's summer. All right. Abraham kind of admonishes the rich guy. It's like, no, you had your stuff, you're done. And then what's he say? He said, well, I got five brothers. Could you send Lazarus? Again, send Lazarus for me. Let him do what I want because he's subservient yet. Still doesn't get the idea that he is in God's kingdom. The rich man's not. Lazarus is up there. He's got it made now. He is not. He's not this beggar anymore, really. He is, but he's not. And he said, well, send in my family because I don't want them to suffer. And again, I find it interesting that he only wants him to go to his family. He only wants his family saved. He's not concerned about the rest of the world. He's not concerned about anyone but himself. And now he's getting it, but it's only his immediate family. Not that that's bad, but you would kind of hope he'd get it and say, hey, could you send him to the whole town, maybe? Not just my brothers. But, again, Abraham answers, they've got Moses and the prophets, right? Why don't they pay attention to them? Why don't they listen to the Moses and the prophets? And why wouldn't they? Think about that. They've had it. They've been taught it. Every one of them has. And he said, no, Abraham, don't do that because that's obviously not working. But if somebody came from the dead, then they'd probably listen, right? Abraham's answer is, I'll read it. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. So, that is what each one of us should be convicted with. If we haven't heard Moses and the prophets, do we even believe in Christ's resurrection? Do we accept that as the culmination of everything we live for. Our job as individuals, as Christians, is to glorify and honor God in everything we say and do. Nobody's good at it. I'm not. But that is our job. This is what we are called. This is what we were made for. And if we don't listen to Moses and the prophets, are we hearing Christ at all? We call ourselves Christians, and that's wonderful. But how are we living that Christianity? How are we being Christ to other people? There's so many opportunities. I mean, this church has tons. There's Meals on Wheels. There's Family Promise. There's Gideon's. There's anything you can think of. And most of you, I'm sure, are involved in something in community where you're giving of yourself. You're not seeing yourself as the rich man. And I'm not saying that we're rich in material things, but if we have Christ, we're rich in everything that matters. And if we're not sharing that, if we're walking away from people or not even seeing other people who are crying out for Christ, or at least a crumb from the Bible, from the bread of life, and we're disallowing that, we are that rich man as individuals, as a church, as a community of believers. So we need to get out there and do stuff. And it's like, we don't have a lot of time, because what Ben read in Ecclesiastes, remember your Creator in your youth. Because if you don't think of Him right away, you don't think of Him at all. And once you stop thinking about Christ, once you stop thinking about what it is He made you for, you're no different than the rich man walking over Lazarus, ignoring him, and letting the dogs lick his wounds. And the ending of Ecclesiastes, and I know I like Ecclesiastes, I don't know why, but probably because it's so somber, so negative. But the end of Ecclesiastes, the very last verse, chapter 12, verse 14, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." So remember that God is watching you. God knows our behavior. He knows our heart. So when there is a poor Lazarus, someone with sores, someone in need, somebody in this church that may not know Christ or is looking for Christ, someone in your community, your neighborhood, somebody in the world, you don't have to go to South Sudan, you don't have to go to Haiti, but there's people right here need to hear the word of God, need to know they're loved, need to know who their Creator is and why He made them. So, that's it. Short and sweet. I hope you got something out of that, because Christ is alive. And without that, we got nothing.